This is going to sound dramatic, but I've been digging through higher ed data all month, and what I'm seeing is nothing short of a complete transformation happening right now. Not in 5 years, not next year. It's happening this semester in classrooms across the country. Wait, are you talking about AI? Because I'm literally living this. I'm a CS senior, and half my professors are scrambling to figure out what to do about ChatGPT, while the other half are pretending it doesn't exist. That's exactly it. I've been tracking this pattern, and it's not just about ChatGPT. The data shows this massive divide opening up between institutions that are adapting and those that aren't. Community colleges, state schools, private universities, they're all handling this differently, and students are caught in the middle.
As someone who taught high school for 15 years before moving to educational consulting, I can tell you this feels different from other tech waves. When smartphones hit classrooms, we could ban them. When Wikipedia came along, we could teach source evaluation. But this
is existential. I'm dealing with this every day as an associate dean. Faculty are coming to me in genuine distress. Some want to ban AI entirely, others want to embrace it, and most are just confused about what's even possible.
What struck me most in the data is this document from Michigan State. They're actually trying to create authentic assessments that work with AI, not against it. They're asking fundamental questions about what we're really trying to measure when we assess students. That MSU guidance is fascinating because it acknowledges reality. My machine learning professor redesigned his entire course around the assumption we're all using AI tools. Instead of fighting it, he's teaching us to be better at prompting, verifying outputs, understanding limitations.
But here's what worries me. Not every institution has that capacity. I work with community colleges that are still struggling with basic technology infrastructure. How do they make this leap?
That's the gap I keep seeing in the data. The resource divide is becoming an AI divide. Well-funded universities are hiring AI specialists, creating task forces, developing new pedagogies. Meanwhile, other schools are just hoping this goes away.
It's not going away. I just came from a meeting where we discussed the legal implications of AI proctoring. We thought automated exam monitoring would solve our remote testing challenges, but now we're dealing with privacy concerns, bias issues, accessibility problems.
The proctoring thing is wild. I took an exam last week where the AI flagged me for suspicious behavior because I was calculating on scratch paper. My friend got flagged for looking away while thinking. It's like the technology doesn't understand how humans actually take tests. That document on AI proctoring legal implications, it's eye-opening. Universities are essentially conducting mass surveillance of their students, often without fully understanding the technology they're using or its limitations.
And students have no choice. During COVID, my daughter had to install proctoring software that basically took control of her computer. She felt like a criminal in her own room.
We're trying to balance academic integrity with student privacy, but honestly, we're making it up as we go. The vendors promise their AI can detect cheating, but when pressed for details, it's all proprietary algorithms and black boxes.
Here's what's really interesting, though. The French document on generative AI and linguistic equity raises questions nobody here seems to be asking. They're looking at how AI affects different language learners differently. International students, ESL students, they're experiencing this technology completely differently than native English speakers. Oh my God, yes, my roommate is from Brazil, and she uses ChatGPT to help with grammar in her papers. Is that cheating? She knows the content, she just needs help expressing it in academic English. But our university policy says any AI use must be disclosed, and some professors dock points for it.
This is where the traditional assessment model breaks down. If we're testing language skills, that's one thing. But if we're testing understanding of organic chemistry, why should language barriers matter?
The mathematics education research I've been reviewing shows this tension perfectly. Math professors are split. Some see AI as a calculator on steroids that could help students focus on concepts rather than computation. Others worry students won't develop fundamental skills.
We had a calculus professor quit mid-semester over this. He'd spent 30 years perfecting his problem sets, and suddenly students were solving them in seconds with Wolfram Alpha and ChatGPT. He said he didn't know what he was supposed to teach anymore.
But that's the thing. My best math professors adapted. Instead of computational problems, they give us modeling challenges, real-world applications, things that require actual understanding. You can't just plug those into an AI and get an answer. The Office of Educational Technology report on AI's future in teaching suggests exactly that approach. They're talking about moving from information transfer to skill development, from memorization to application.
Easier said than done. Do you know how much work it takes to redesign a course? And professors are already overworked, underpaid, dealing with larger class sizes.
Tell me about it. I'm asking faculty to completely rethink their pedagogy while also publishing, serving on committees, advising students. Something has to give.
What's fascinating is seeing which institutions are making this work. The data suggests it's not always who you'd expect. Some small liberal arts colleges are way ahead of major research universities because they have more flexibility, closer student-faculty relationships. My friend at a tiny liberal arts school says her professors are using AI as a collaborator. Like in her philosophy class, they feed prompts to ChatGPT and then critique its responses. It's actually making the discussions deeper.
That's brilliant. Instead of AI replacing thinking, it becomes a sparring partner for thinking. But that requires small classes, engaged professors, institutional support.
And time. The Preservist Teachers study I read, these are people just entering the profession, supposedly digital natives, and even they're struggling with how to integrate AI meaningfully. They're caught between what they learned in their education programs and what they're seeing in actual classrooms.
We're failing them in teacher prep programs. We're still teaching classroom management and lesson planning like it's 2010, maybe throwing in a session on educational technology that covers smart boards and Google Classroom.
My education major friends are terrified. They're student teaching in classrooms where kids are using AI for everything, and they have no training on how to handle it. One friend caught a student using ChatGPT during an in-class essay and didn't know if it was cheating or just using available tools.
The policies are all over the place, too. I consult with districts where one school bans AI completely while the school down the street is doing pilot programs with AI tutors. Parents are confused, teachers are frustrated, and students are caught in the middle.
That inconsistency shows up everywhere in the data. Even within single institutions, you might have the computer science department embracing AI while the English department treats it like plagiarism. Students are getting whiplash.
We tried to create a unified policy, but it fell apart immediately. How do you create one rule that works for creative writing and organic chemistry lab reports, for take-home essays and in-class coding assignments?
The real problem is that policies are focusing on the wrong thing. Instead of asking, did you use AI, they should be asking, what did you learn? I can use ChatGPT to write a mediocre essay, or I can use it as a thought partner to write something actually innovative. The tool isn't the issue, it's how we use it. That Michigan State framework actually addresses this. They're talking about redesigning assessments to measure process, not just product. Having students document their thinking, explain their choices, reflect on their learning.
Which sounds great in theory, but requires a complete shift in how we grade. Rubrics, time allocation, everything changes. And what about standardized tests, state assessments, AP exams? They're not adapting nearly as quickly.
The disconnect between classroom innovation and standardized assessment is growing wider every day. We're telling faculty to embrace new methods while still being judged by traditional metrics.
Speaking of metrics, the data on student outcomes is all over the place. Some early adopter institutions report higher engagement and deeper learning. Others are seeing academic integrity issues skyrocket. There's no clear pattern yet. From a student perspective, it depends entirely on implementation. When professors thoughtfully integrate AI, it's amazing. My databases professor has us use AI to generate test data sets. Then we analyze where the AI made unrealistic assumptions. It's teaching us both technical skills and critical thinking.
But when it's just don't use ChatGPT or you'll fail, students use it anyway and learn to hide it. It becomes a game of cat and mouse that nobody wins.
The international perspective is crucial here too. That French report on linguistic equity, they're thinking about AI as a potential equalizer for non-native speakers, while many US institutions see it primarily as a threat.
We have a huge international student population, and honestly, we haven't even begun to address how AI affects them differently. Our policies are written assuming native English speakers with unlimited technology access.
My computer science program is probably 40% international students. They're using AI differently, not to cheat, but to bridge communication gaps, understand assignment requirements, participate more fully in discussions. Blanket bans hurt them disproportionately.
This equity issue extends beyond language. What about students who can't afford the premium versions of these AI tools, or those without reliable internet? We're creating new forms of digital divide.
The data suggests institutions aren't tracking these disparities yet. They're so focused on preventing cheating that they're not studying who benefits and who gets left behind.
Because that would require admitting we don't have answers. It's easier to create policies than confront fundamental inequities in how we deliver education.
What frustrates me is that we're having the wrong conversations. Instead of how do we stop cheating, we should be asking what skills do students actually need now? My programming assignments from freshman year are literally obsolete. AI can solve them in seconds. That Office of EdTech report makes this point. They're calling for a fundamental reconception of what we're preparing students for. Not just different tools, but different kinds of thinking.
Which brings us back to teacher preparation. How do we prepare educators for a landscape that's changing this rapidly? My traditional training feels almost quaint now.
We need continuous professional development, but funded and supported, not just mandated. Faculty need time to experiment, fail, iterate. Instead, we're asking them to transform their teaching while maintaining all their other responsibilities.
Some institutions are creating interesting models, faculty learning communities, course release time for redesign, partnerships between instructional designers and subject experts. But it's piecemeal, not systematic. The students who are thriving are those who've learned to be critical users of AI. Not just prompters, but people who understand capabilities and limitations, who can verify and build on AI outputs. But we're not teaching this systematically.
Because we don't know how yet. The technology is evolving faster than our ability to develop pedagogy around it. By the time we create a curriculum for AI literacy, the landscape has shifted again.
Which might be the key insight from all this data. We need to get comfortable with uncertainty. The institutions doing best aren't those with perfect policies, but those willing to experiment and adapt.
Easy to say, hard to implement. Accreditors want consistency. Parents want predictability. Boards want risk mitigation. Embracing uncertainty doesn't fit neatly into strategic plans.
But students are already living this uncertainty. We're using tools our professors don't understand, preparing for jobs that might not exist yet, developing skills we hope will transfer. A little institutional humility would go a long way.
What would that look like practically? Because I agree philosophically, but when I'm working with schools, they need concrete next steps.
The synthesis of all this data points to a few key moves. First, stop treating AI as a threat to be eliminated and start treating it as a reality to be navigated. Second, invest in faculty development, not one-off workshops, but sustained support. Third, center equity in every decision.
And fourth, include student voices. We're making policies about tools students understand better than we do. The generational knowledge gap is real.
Yes, my blockchain professor actually appointed student TAs specifically to help him understand how we're using AI tools. It's collaborative rather than adversarial.
That requires humility, though. Admitting that teachers might not have all the answers, that students might have valuable insights, it inverts traditional power dynamics.
The data suggests that's exactly what's needed, though. The institutions successfully navigating this are those willing to blur traditional boundaries between teacher and student, between disciplines, between assessment and learning.
We're essentially rebuilding the plane while flying it. And passengers, our students, are experiencing turbulence while we figure it out.
But here's the thing. We're resilient. My generation has adapted to every technological shift thrown at us. What we need from institutions is partnership, not paternalism. Work with us to figure this out. That collaborative approach shows up in the successful case studies. When institutions involve students in policy development, outcomes improve. When they treat faculty as partners rather than problems to be managed, innovation happens.
The question is whether traditional institutional structures can adapt quickly enough. The hierarchy, the bureaucracy, the resistance to change, these are features, not bugs, of how higher education operates.
Some days I think we need a completely new model. Other days I see glimpses of transformation within existing structures. The jury's still out on which path we'll take.
What's clear from the data is that the status quo isn't sustainable. Whether through evolution or revolution, higher education is changing. The question is whether institutions will lead that change or be dragged along by it. From where I sit, the change is already here. Every student I know is using AI in some way. The institutions pretending otherwise are just creating a culture of secrecy and shame around tool use.
Which undermines the very critical thinking we claim to be protecting. If students can't openly discuss their AI use, how can they learn to use it thoughtfully?
That tension between stated values and actual practices runs through all the data. We say we value innovation, but punish experimentation. We claim to prepare students for the future, but cling to past methods.
Because change is hard and risky and expensive and requires admitting we don't have all the answers, that's a lot to ask of institutions built on expertise and authority.
But that's exactly what education should model. Lifelong learning, adaptation, intellectual humility. If universities can't demonstrate these values, how can they teach them?
You're right, of course. The question is how to get from here to there without losing what's valuable about traditional education. The mentorship, the deep thinking, the human connection.
The data suggests it's not either or. The best implementations enhance human connection rather than replacing it. AI handling routine tasks so humans can focus on what humans do best, creating, connecting, challenging, inspiring.
If we can get there. Right now, it feels like we're in the messy middle, with all the disruption but not yet the benefits.
But that's where learning happens, right? In the discomfort, the uncertainty, the experimentation. Maybe this chaos is exactly what higher education needed to break out of outdated patterns. Time will tell. But one thing's certain from all this data, the conversation we're having right now, this grappling with fundamental questions about learning and assessment and purpose, this is happening in institutions everywhere. And that gives me hope.